I don't think I've been up here before, and I've been to most places in Oslo. Nice views of the city. Got the harbour over there. I can see a ferry leaving. I reckon that's going to Fornebu. Or Slemmestad, maybe. There's a cement museum in Slemmestad, always worth a visit. You can never know too much about cement. That's my view. And there's the Slottsparken over there. It's one of my favourite parks for walking in, actually. It was really good for the pushchair in the early days because the paths are so smooth. And I was able to get little Tor off to sleep. And rather than come home and put him to bed, I'd just sit on a bench and read. Especially in the summer, but often in the winter too. Wrapped up warm. I read a lot while he was asleep. He's 9 now and doesn't really want to go for walks in the park. He prefers his computer. Still, lots of good stuff on computers, isn't there? Better than when I was growing up. And then over there is the City Hall. Have you been in recently? I love the murals on the second floor. Even if you've seen them before, they're worth another look if you get a chance. Perhaps you've seen the ones about St. Halvard. I can tell you now, I'm a huge St. Halvard fan because of his defense of an innocent woman who'd been accused of theft. A little early miscarriage of justice, which we work hard to avoid in the Oslo Boat Patrol. Halvard had his own boat patrol, actually, back in the 11th century. And on it, he took the woman to keep her safe from the men who had accused her. Unfortunately, they saw them set off and shot them with arrows. Killed them both. They hid both bodies, hers on the beach and his by tying a millstone around his neck and sinking him in the Drammarsfjord. But his body kept resurfacing, and the men's crimes were then discovered. I think there were other miracles after that, but that's the one I remember. Even if you've got a millstone around your neck, you can still rise up. You know?
Edvard Grieg wrote the Violin Sonata No. 3 in C minor in a few months in the late 19th century. No. 3 took him a bit longer than Sonata No. 1 and No. 2 because he said he wanted to reach for a broader scope in the music. Although they were all still at heart inspired by the Norwegian folk song tradition. Around about that time, Grieg was also weighing into some international issues by cancelling a number of concerts in France in protest at the Dreyfus affair, a miscarriage of justice that was rocking French politics at the time and which Grieg considered an affront to human rights. Some of this information was in the programme notes of the concert of the Violin Sonata in C minor, which was being performed at the concert hall in Oslo that night, but which was brought to an abrupt end when the solo violinist, a woman called Katarina Olsen, left the stage and made her way to the roof, where it looked to all the world like she was going to jump off.
They told me when the call came in that you'd only talk to me. Is that right? Do I know you? I feel like I'd remember meeting a world-class musician, especially a violinist. I tried learning that thing at school, but I was asked to stop by 3 people, independently, as it happens. One of them was my actual violin teacher, and another was my mother. Not sure which was more mortifying. So I've always admired anyone who could get a tune out of the violin, and of course you do even better than that. The program they gave me on the way up has this amazing write-up of you. I see you've played all over the world and done all the big, you know, violin hits, and recorded them too, I see. The Beethoven Violin Concerto, Mozart's bit of Shostakovich. I've probably got you in my CD collection somewhere without even realising. Is there something else I'm not realising? Did I come across you in a case, for example?
She was a Norwegian citizen, but had been born in Lithuania and had studied music in both Moscow and Paris. She'd fallen in love with a Norwegian cellist on some tour or other, and then married him, and become a citizen of Norway 6 years later. It's unusual for someone to know or ask for specific police officers unless they have police in their family or they've had experience of the justice system at some point in their lives. But she seemed to have neither. I knew that any other checks were going to be hard to run from the roof, so on my way up, I tasked my team with getting background information and told them to message me with anything useful when they had it. I was hoping that might start coming through fairly quickly because on a one-to-one level, Katerina wasn't really talking to me.
Is there anyone you want me to contact, Katerina? A family member or your partner? Someone you feel close to? I'm happy to bring anyone up here. You're in control of this and we're going to take it at your pace. Perhaps you'd like to talk to your husband. Okay, I'm getting a message here that he's in New York, so perhaps I can set up a Skype or something.
As the theatre manager took me up to the roof, he told me that Katerina had been rehearsing in the building for the past week and had talked a member of the maintenance staff into telling her how to access it because she liked to eat her lunch up high when the sun was out. He thought perhaps she'd seen the guy punch the code on the door and remembered it, and might have been up a few times since. They didn't have any camera coverage, so he couldn't be sure. There had been no other issues in the run-up to the concert, and nothing to suggest her current state of mind, except that on one occasion she'd been late for rehearsal and had been a bit flustered. She hadn't given a reason to management for why she was late, and he didn't push it. She was the star, after all. But she might have mentioned something to her pianist or a member of the support staff.
So your pianist has someone turning the pages for him during performance. I'm told that page turning is an actual job for some people. How about that? I imagine it's one of those jobs that if you do it right, no one notices you. But if you do it wrong, it's kind of a disaster. There are a few things like that in life, actually. Some of the officers in counter-terrorism talk to me in similar terms. You don't notice the successes, you just notice the disasters. I mean, you know, disaster means different things to different people, doesn't it? I guess it's all relative. So, anyway, while we've been... I'm going to call it chatting, even though we haven't really been doing that. But while we've been doing whatever it is we've been doing... I've had one of my team, Sigrid, talk to this page-turner, and she said that you'd made a trip to Hemsedal earlier in the week and were late coming back. What were you doing there? It's a good 3 hours in the car, so it must have been important. We'll be looking into it anyway. I've got a team of analysts, but it'd be nice to hear it from you, if you'd like to tell me.
There are quite a few things in Hemsedal. There's a collection of nice cafes, a town hall, some holiday apartments, and a well-regarded ski resort. There's also an asylum centre. And according to the volunteers there, Katerina came early one morning to make a donation of clothes, bed linen and kitchenware. She'd said she'd chosen that particular centre because it seemed to need more than any of the others. It was all brand new stuff she'd donated, apart from a tuning fork, which she said was hers, and that when she came over to Norway as a young girl, even though she wasn't facing some of the things the people at the centre were, it gave her comfort. Or, in her words, kept her in tune.
Do you know someone specific there, Katerina? I mean, not that it's important. What you did was great, very humane. I should do more myself, but I'm trying to get my head around this particular situation here on the roof. And you've probably noticed that news crews have started arriving. There were 1,600 people in that theatre, and by the way, congratulations on your fan base. But all of them saw you leave the stage, and I would imagine you're trending on social media. Okay, so easy, Katerina. I didn't like you sitting on the edge, but I really, really don't like you standing. How about you take a step back? Just for me. Oh, God, please be careful.
I can't bear heights. But if the roof of the concert hall even counted as a height, I mean, I don't know enough about velocity rates to know if it was tall enough so that a fall would be fatal. But at the very least, anyone coming off it would do themselves some serious damage. And in Katerina's case, would probably mean she'd never play again. And in my case, well, I couldn't think about it because it made my feet sweat. And then it occurred to me that perhaps Katerina had asked for me specifically because somehow she knew I was very, very unlikely to venture out onto the edge and try and grab her. I was pretty much glued to the air conditioning vent as it was. And if that was the reason why I was here, then I had to say she'd chosen wisely. And then when she stood and turned and looked at me, she didn't jump or require an act of heroism on my part. She just started speaking.
She's asking for Daniel. It's the maintenance man. She wants him up here right away. I don't know why or what it's about, but communication has started, so how about we don't chat about it? We just arrange for it to happen.
I was aware of intense activity, like they were all poised to call in professional negotiators or storm the roof with marines or something, and there was a sense of disappointment as all they had been asked to do was find Dan from maintenance. But they got him anyway, and he came through the access door, and I started saying something or other about how Katerina could be approaching the plea bargaining stage, and he should be careful about what he said in these fraught moments, when he just nodded at me, gave Katerina the thumbs up, and went round the other side of the air conditioning vent and hauled out a great big speaker and a little contact microphone. He walked over to Katerina with the confidence of a mountain goat and then stuck the mic to her violin. She smiled at him, and then she smiled at me and said thank you for what? I don't know. And then she stood on the edge of the building, turned to face the city, and she started playing. And it drifted over Oslo, this tune from I don't know when, from old Norway. And she was lost in it. I could see it. It was what she felt she could do. Evoke a Norway from a time that took her in as a child, but might be hesitating about doing the same now. It was her way of connecting the city with something bigger. A free concert from a world-class musician. Her gift offered. Her message clear. And she'd planned it well. I believe the footage of it went around the world. And I had a great view of it. I was clinging onto a hot air vent, true, but it was the best seat in the house.